Now, the Common Core is still pretty controversial and to some confusing, so we recently asked you, our listeners, to send us your questions about it. And we're going to answer some of them now with Claudio. He joins me here in studio. Hey there, Claudio.
Hello.
And another key voice from our education team, Eric Westervelt. Welcome, Eric.
Hi, Audie.
And we're going to start with the most common question by far, I'm sure the one you hear the most often, Eric. What are the Common Core state standards?
Well, these are benchmarks, Audie, not curricula in English, language arts, and math. They're voluntary standards, and they aim to raise the bar, really, and clarify what every American kid, K through 12, needs to know and should be able to demonstrate at each grade level. Up until this point, there has been a real hodgepodge of state standards, and they varied widely. In many states, there was deep concern that these standards were outdated, weak, and ineffectual. And this matters a lot for two big reasons. One, the bar in too many cases was simply too low for kids. And two, children move a lot within cities and states and across state lines. Many said, look, it's just unacceptable that students in different states are learning at very different levels, and that it's no longer okay that the U.S. education system continues to fall behind internationally.
Claudio, another thing the listeners asked about was these arguments from opponents of the core saying that the standards tell teachers what books they should teach. Is that true?
It's not true. The only required reading that 11th and 12th grade teachers must cover and that kids will be tested on are the Declaration of Independence, the preamble to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and President Lincoln's second inaugural address. Now, this is all tied to a standard that says that 11th and 12th graders must be able to analyze 18th and 19th century foundational documents of historical and literary significance. That's a quote. Now, everything else, teachers and school districts will decide on their own. Appendix B of the Common Core, for example, provides some samples of reading materials that show teachers the grade appropriate text complexity, things like sentence structure and vocabulary. But again, the Common Core does not require specific books or reading materials.
I want to talk about testing now. Eric, as you mentioned, in the past, states have used their own standards and written their own tests. Claudio, what more can you tell us about how testing will change under the Common Core?
Well, the testing will be tougher, and here's an example. Math tests, grades 3 to 5. Mrs. Morales has a bag of beads. She gives Elena 5 beads. Damien gets 8 more beads than Elena. And then she gives Trish 4 times as many beads as Damien. Mrs. Morales has 10 beads left in her bag. Now, how many beads did Damien and Trish receive? Show or explain how you arrived at each answer. This is not your mother's math problem.
Not just the answer, but how you arrived there.
Exactly. And so next week, 4 million students, grades 3 to 11, will take these field tests in math and language arts for the very first time. They'll replace, as Eric was saying earlier, the hodgepodge of state tests that have not been very high quality. This testing will, by the way, help test makers figure out what questions and test items truly gauge proficiency or grade level skills and what the cutoff scores are going to be.
Eric, one more testing question. It comes from Kay Adkins of St. Joseph, Missouri.
How can anyone who reads and understands the Common Core standards pretend that standardized tests will actually measure what the standards call for?
Well, Kay raises a great question. I mean, Claudio mentioned the math example. In language arts, Common Core standards are placing more emphasis on analysis than many state standards. The goal is to get students to try to think and read more critically and creatively, to move away from rote memorization and teaching to a test. The Common Core encourage emphasis on what students can accomplish sort of using language, how to build a point-by-point argument based on a real deeper understanding of the reading and drawing specific examples. But to Kay's testing question, opponents really on the left and the right are now saying, wait a minute, why this continued emphasis on a standardized test? Are you really not just doubling down on a sort of test and punishment program launched by George W. Bush's No Child Left Behind?
Now, finally, we got this tweet from Vincent DiTilio in response to your story, Claudio, on a teachers' union's fraught relationship with the core. The unions support the new standards but want to slow things down. And DiTilio writes, is universal delay any better than universal implementation?
Well, first, let me say here's why the unions, both National Education Association and American Federation of Teachers, are worried. It turns out that 7 out of 10 teachers say the transition to a curriculum tied to the Common Core isn't working right now. Teachers also say that they need time to make sure that they understand the standards and are able to, more importantly, talk to parents about them, because parents right now are pretty clueless about all this. Also, teachers worry that they're going to be evaluated based on the test results from the Common Core tests that are coming down the pike, and they don't think this is fair because they haven't even had a chance to teach, let alone understand what those standards or at least the tests themselves are going to look like. The unions clearly do support the standards, but they worry that this all is unfolding in such a chaotic way that they're calling for either a moratorium or a 2-year delay.
NPR's Claudio Sanchez. Claudio, thank you.
You're welcome.
And NPR's Eric Westervelt. Eric, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. And our coverage continues tomorrow on Morning Edition with a view of the Common Core from book publishers. This is NPR News.